Being a father is probably one of the greatest titles that I have, and for both her and my son. And I think what it does for me is it makes me more cognizant of the world in which we exist. The work that I chose to do was all about rebuilding neighborhoods and communities, but that work has so much more purpose now that I know that I have another generation of young people that are in this world that I'm shaping it for.
We are the guardians of girlhood, paired with multi-generational perspectives. And when we say every girl has a story, what do we mean? The girl searching for her people, the girl craving an outlet, the girl with big dreams but no idea where to start? What about the girl whose father is in prison? The girl who hides in the bathroom at lunch? The girl desperate for a break from her home, even just for a moment. By opening up and sharing these experiences, we not only empower ourselves, but also inspire others. Unconditional sisterhood, unwavering community, and the realness. We express, we create, then we elevate. This is Love Girls, the podcast.
Welcome back to Love Girls, the podcast. Today, we are honored to welcome a very special guest, the mayor of Memphis, Tennessee, Paul Young. Mayor Young was sworn in on January 1st, 2024, and he brings a deep commitment to service and community to his role. A proud graduate of the University of Tennessee, he holds a master's degree in urban and regional planning and has spent the last decade working to improve the quality of life in Memphis. Known not only for his leadership in the city, but also for his heart for service, in January 2025, Mayor Young received national recognition for his mentoring outreach. And today, he joins us to talk about the power of mentorship, public service, and being a proud girl dad. And of course, Memphis holds a special place to us too, because it's one of our hubs for Love Girls Magazine, where we've been connecting with and empowering young women for the past 10 years. So this conversation is going to be about leadership, about legacy, and about uplifting others. So my name is Jasmine Babers-Gunn. I am a co-host of Love Girls, the podcast, and I'm here with my sister, Kayla Babers. I'm also here with our intern, Amaya Woods, and of course, our Memphis editor and lead mentor, Miss Shanitha Shipp. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Mayor Young.
Hi, excited to be with everyone today and looking forward to a great conversation.
Awesome.
Jasmine and I come from a girl dad who's had nothing but daughters. So I think we have a special place in our heart for girl dads, especially Black and brown girl dads. And I guess as a father, what role do you think male mentors play in empowering young women? For me, I'm a corporate girly. I work in marketing and communications. And a lot of time, I'm the lonely only, the only kind of chocolate chip in the cookie dough up here in the Midwest. And for a while, I was having female leadership mentor me, and it just wasn't clicking. And they thought because they were women that they could bridge whatever gap and that would make them a better mentor. However, as soon as I switched to my now friend-tor, I call him friend and mentor, Dr. Burl Randolph, our mentorship relationship, my career, my professional development, it skyrocketed. And we were just able to collaborate. He was able to provide a safe space for me to just grow as a professional. So I'm just curious on what do you think the role that male mentors play in empowering young women, older women, and just women across the board?
Well, I think they can play a very, very powerful role. I think back to mentors that have been important to me, and I've had Black male mentors. There's a white female who I worked with when I lived in New York who is still one of my mentors that I call on that now lives in Atlanta. And so I think it's really about having a kinship and somebody that you can connect to and relate to, and that can come in many forms. And so I think it's powerful to have someone that can be walking alongside you in your journey, particularly as you are entering into the career fields, because as a young person, I can recall when I was graduating from college and, you know, in my early 20s, there's a lot of confusion, but you can't really figure, it's hard to navigate where you're going because you've ended this phase of formal education, and the world can feel cold. And having mentors and individuals that can help guide you, I think is really, really important. And as someone who has an amazing young daughter, she's just turned 14, I think a week ago. My hope is that as she continues to grow, that she'll view me as one of her mentors, but that she'll also find individuals in her life that she can see herself in. And I think that's the most important part, finding mentors where you can see yourself in them, in their journey.
Sure. Very cool. I think it's interesting because as a woman led, a Black woman led organization, sometimes we get flack for integrating men into the work that we do. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to recognize that mentorship doesn't have a gender. It's kind of who fits your needs when. And I love that you mentioned as you've grown, you've had multiple mentors, because I feel like they probably give you different things and feed different areas where you need it. So I need to let our listeners know that Love Girls is an equal opportunity mentorship organization with a priority on people who identify as women.
Yep. Yeah, I think that's the way it should be. I think that as individuals, as human beings, we have a lot of different sides to our personality, things that feed us, that energize us, and you can get those things from different people, and it can help make you whole and make you the best that you can be.
Yeah. I love that. Also, your daughter is going to be, you said she's turning 14?
She turned 14.
She just turned 14.
Yeah, happy birthday to her.
Literally tomorrow. So, you know, I'm all in my feels right now.
Yeah. And 14 is also like a really critical age, like an age where you really do need mentors. And I know that you talked a little bit about kinship and having people who walk alongside you in this journey. And we know that you wrote a little bit about your parents and how your parents have impacted you and how they've shaped you. We were wondering if you could tell us a little bit of like what your childhood looked like and how your parents influenced you and how other people influenced you.
Yeah, definitely. My parents, they've been amazing. My dad, who passed on a couple of years ago, actually right when I was on the campaign journey, he was, I think, the first male mentor I had. And, you know, I modeled what I saw as a man being. I saw that in him, and that's what I always wanted to become. One of the things that he was really big on is making sure that we always had a heart for service. And I think back to growing up, both of my parents are preachers. And so we had a church that was pretty far away. It was about an hour and a half away from our city as I was growing up. And then when I turned 13, they started a church that was within walking distance in my neighborhood. And he started this program called Boys in the Hood. Mm-hmm. And with Boys in the Hood, he would bring up all of the guys from the neighborhood. We would go up there and play basketball. And the whole time we were up there playing basketball, we were thinking that, you know, that was the hook and we were there to play basketball. But actually, they would make us drop the basketballs, and he would have all these men from the church and from the neighborhood that would come up and they would talk to us about what it takes to be a man. And they would make us hold hands and look each other in the eyes and say, "I love you, brother." And we were doing this every week. And as I see people from my childhood that I grew up with today, like now, you know, 30 years later, they still say, like, those were some of the most impactful things in their lives. And, you know, this made them the man that they are. And I have the same feelings. And it was because he had the vision to ensure that as young Black men that we saw ourselves as more than just, you know, being able to play basketball and rap, which, you know, is often kind of the stereotype for young Black men coming up. Mm-hmm. But he made sure that as we played basketball, we were talking about those life lessons that could push us to do more.
That's amazing. And currently I'm in college. I'm enrolled in Augustana College. And as a college student, I was just wondering, like, if you could go back and talk to your teenage self, what advice would you give to him?
I would say, one, you don't have to have it figured out. I think that when you're young, you put a lot of pressure on yourself to have to know exactly what you want to be, how you want to do it, and what the path is to get there. And I think that we should, as young people, and I'm not anymore, but as a young person, I would tell myself to give yourself some grace and allow your process to play out, because your journey will find you if you just position yourself in the right way. I would say lean into the things that you really, really enjoy, because those are going to be the fields where you find, you know, a career in something that doesn't feel like a job, where you feel like you're walking in your purpose, where you're doing the thing that you were put on this earth to figure out and to do and to serve. And I think not enough young people think about that part. The money will come. And I know social media puts a lot of pressure, different pressures than I had growing up, because it didn't exist for me. But I think looking past what you see on social media and really thinking about the things that you're passionate about, that's going to be the thing that really pushes you to your destiny.
I love that. I heard a saying, and it was, if you can see it, you can be it. And I think for our kids especially, it's really important to see people doing things that aren't stereotypical for us. Because with how heavy media is and things like that, I think the perception is often skewed. Even when Jazz and I go into schools and stuff, they're like, you guys are writers and photographers, like, we can do that. And so you mentioned walking in your purpose. And I think seeing Black men in spaces of power like mayor, recently here in Rock Island, we just had an election. And we now have a newly appointed Black mayor, Ashley Harris, who is a friend of mine. And there were challenges here in the community after his winning on social media, conversations about his, what's the word I'm looking for? If he was accredited enough, if he could.
Qualifications. Yeah.
Qualifications, exactly. Mm-hmm. So I guess my question to you is, although Memphis has a totally different demographic than here in the Quad Cities, what were some challenges you faced when running for mayor, and how did you overcome those? And what advice would you give to people kind of branching out into something new, especially a leadership role?
Well, when I ran for mayor in our city, we don't have a runoff. So there were 17 people that ran for mayor. I was one of the few, at least top people in the race that had not come from being in an elected office before. And so it was really an uphill battle. But what I realized as I was on the journey is, one, your reputation precedes you, and it's not just your reputation, but the reputation of your family. So, you know, because my parents had done so much in this community, and as I was young, this is another lesson. As I was young, I used to kind of push away if somebody said they knew my parents. I want to earn it on my own. I don't want anybody talking about my parents. I think any connection that you can build with people, even as a young person, you should leverage it to try to learn more, build stronger relationships. And if that gets you in the door, don't feel like you are less than because you came in the door through a relationship, because your capabilities is what's going to keep you there. But when I was on the campaign journey, my goal was to make sure that I touched as many people as possible. And because I didn't come from being in an elected office, I think it gave me a little bit more fire and desire. The other thing that happened that was a challenge is my dad passed literally a month into the campaign journey.
I'm sorry. And
it really actually pushed me harder. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people say, well, I think you're kind of, you know, covering up the fact that you might be, you know, in mourning and having grief by working so hard, which is probably true, but it's exactly what he would have wanted me to do, because he was like one of the proudest people in the world that his son was running for mayor, so much so that when he was literally on his deathbed, he told the nurse, make sure you vote for my son.
I love it. I love
yeah, literally on his deathbed. And so I saw she came to my election night celebration and told me that story, which
was
just
a full circle moment.
You know, it was a journey. And then the last challenge I will say is, you know, when you are working in this space, it's somewhat unnatural to have so much criticism thrown your way because you know who you are, you know why you're doing it, you know your passion and your love, and then people will talk about you as an individual, and you have to, you know, see past those criticism and use it to motivation to prove people wrong. And that journey helped me get ready for the job that I'm in. And the criticism doesn't stop, it only gets louder. But, you know, when you really drill into what your purpose is and why you're doing it, it gives you a lot more energy to finish this race.
Jasmine, I'd like to jump in here too and ask Mayor Young specifically about what it is that men can do to help create a more supportive and equitable world for women and girls. That, and then also, you know, you being a girl dad, you know, and I have a daughter. We actually met, my daughter and I met your wife and your daughter at one of our Delta Sigma Theta sorority career events back in June. I showed your wife the magazine, and my daughter got a chance to speak to your daughter for a moment, and they're both very, very busy. They're athletes. They're, you know, they're doing lots of things, which is fantastic, I think. But, you know, what do you think some men can do to help create a more supportive, like I said, an equitable world for women and girls in general? And then, you know, double back on how can we encourage more men to be actively involved in the lives of their daughters and other girls in the community?
Well, I think it's important for men to be strong listeners. There are so many instances where it's hard for you to see beyond your own experience. And, you know, I've had experiences where I'm in the room with members of our team, and, you know, there are people in the room where they'll just turn to me. And I'm not talking about just as mayor. I'm talking about just as, you know, other roles that I've been in. And, you know, a woman will give an idea and talk about something, and it kind of gets glossed over. And then they'll look to me, and I'll say the same thing, and they act like it wasn't just said, you know, 5 years. Those are the kinds of instances where, as leaders and as men that have a heart for learning and understanding the experience of others, we need to make sure that we're redirecting those conversations, making sure that the voices of the women in the room are heard, and acknowledging the fact that that type of discrimination happens and that we are sometimes even a party to it unknowingly. Even if it's unknowing, we got to be cognizant of it, because once you know, then you're cognizant of the next time. And those are the types of things that I think people that are aware are looking to do to make sure that everybody has a fair shot at opportunity. Because while it may just be a conversation and a meeting, if that type of activity continues, then it can actually limit opportunities for the women that you work with. And it's the same experience that women that we love could have unless we create a more just society.
I think that allyship is so important. And I think it's important for people to hear it, not only like myself and all of the women and girls, but also the guys. You know, it's important for them to hear it from somebody like you, that it's okay to speak up for the women and the girls around you and help elevate their voice. And it doesn't take away from anything that you've said. It actually enhances who you are as a leader. I'm hoping it's okay to go back to your dad for a moment.
Sure.
You had mentioned that he started Boys in the Hood, and I was racking my brain about it, because I was like, ooh, that sounds so familiar to me. And I worked at the Obama Foundation for about a year, and I worked for the Girls Opportunity Alliance, which is Michelle Obama's initiative. But President Obama, he had My Brother's Keeper, and Boys in the Hood, it all clicked for me, is an amazing – Boys in the Hood has such an amazing and such a respected reputation, not only at the Obama Foundation, but like across the country. So I hope you are so proud of your dad and his legacy, because the work that he's doing is literally a model for so many other organizations and nonprofits, for boys, for girls, for people in general. And so I wanted to honor that about your dad, because I think that it's really, really special what he has done for his community.
Well, thank you for that. I really, really appreciate it. And I know he's looking down smiling. So thank you.
That makes me happy. And like what you were saying about your like family's reputation really resonated with me, mm-hmm. because I feel like it's safe to say that my mom and dad are pretty beloved in the community. Like I'll get all the time like, oh, you're Robbie's daughter? Oh, okay, yeah. And my dad, he is one of those people who is just beloved by everybody. And as a girl dad, I mean, he did like the play pretend. He did the coaching the basketball.
Proud girl dad. He was putting bobbles in our hair, trying to lay edges.
Like he coached all the basketball teams. And I'm curious to hear from you. As a father, how has raising a daughter shaped your views on leadership and mentorship?
Well, being a father is probably one of the greatest titles that I have, and for both her and my son. And I think what it does for me is it makes me more cognizant of the world in which we exist, and how the work that I do, which it just so happens that the work that I chose to do was all about rebuilding neighborhoods and communities, but that work has so much more purpose now that I know that I have another generation of young people that are in this world that I'm shaping it for, mm-hmm. that, she's going to find a mate in this future, somewhere, hopefully a while in the future, for a long time. But I want to make sure that I am helping all of the young people across this community, because I know that these are people that she could possibly be choosing from. I want to make sure that she has job opportunities and that she's able to excel educationally. And so what it's done for me is it's just given so much more purpose to everything that I do each day.
If you could tell dads one thing about how to support their daughters, like what would you say?
I would just say show up. I think that sometimes we overthink all of the things that you have to do. But, the moments that I remember most with my dad and my parents is really just showing up. There was nothing special that had to be done. It's just being there. The thing I remember most about, not most, but very prominently about my childhood growing up, once I began to drive, my dad would always give me money to go and buy them food for dinner, and which sounds like a simple task, but I would always look forward to him doing it because he would give me more, and I learned later he did it on purpose, but he would always give me more than what it would cost. So, he'd give me, $75 for something that cost $30. And so I'm just like really excited because I had that little bit of money, but that's just something that I always remember from him. It's building those lifelong experiences that, 30, 40 years from now, our young people are going to look back on and really, really cherish. And I think that's the advice that I would give to fathers, is be as present as possible. I understand that sometimes life throws a curveball and you're not necessarily in the household with your child. Don't let that be a limitation, because our young people need their dads. They need to see you. They need to see the model of what a man is and what a man can be. And both our young men and young women need that luxury.
I would just like to ask you, what are your hopes? I think you kind of touched on this when you talked about the future, your daughter's future, but what are your hopes for the future of girls here in the Memphis area?
Well, I think that future, that my hope is similar to what I talked about for my daughter, but my hope is that, well, one, that they will make Memphis home as they grow older, and that they will stay and raise their families here and continue to add to our vibrant tradition as a city and continue to build that legacy here. My hope is also that we can bring more job opportunities to our community, both the types of jobs that they can, you know, get into by, you know, being qualified and being the best candidate, but also creating a space where they can, you know, create their own, be entrepreneurs, start their own businesses, be able to innovate and create the next major companies of our city. We see companies like AutoZone and FedEx, all homegrown companies that started right here. I would love to see one of our young women being the next major, you know, Fortune 500 CEO that started their company right here in our city.
Awesome. And Jasmine, in the words of Obama, yes, we can.
I know, that's right. And I want that for the girls of Memphis. I feel like over the course of my life, I have traveled to Memphis more times than I can count, of course, to visit Miss Shanitha and to hang out. And I mean, I love Memphis. It is one of my favorite cities. It has been an absolute honor to have you, Mary Young. Thank you so much for spending time with us and for being open and for talking about your family and for also talking about, like, your hopes and your dreams. It means a lot to us that you took the time out to kick it with us. So thank you so much. If you can, please go and hug your dad or your mentor or your father figure or really anybody who is very close to you and thank them for being a bright light in your life. You have been listening to Love Girls, the podcast, and we will see you next time.